I'm going to go ahead and get us started because the Lord's got me all stirred up. And so, I was sharing last week about intimacy and it's so important that we spend time with the Lord and really understanding what it means to grow in intimacy with God. You know, we hear that phrase a lot and we say that. And it's like, well, what does that mean or even look like? Or what's, you know, how do you do that even practically? So I want to cover a little bit of that, just some concepts that I feel like the Lord wants me to kind of to share, and we'll dive into some scripture here too. I put a lot of the references for scripture and some of the things I'll mention on that little page, so y'all can always look that up later. Forgive me if I drop another one in there. Sometimes one will come to my head that I didn't put on paper, but I don't always follow my paper either, so we'll see how we do. but I want us to talk just about our relationship with the Trinity. You know, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I grew up in a church where I heard a whole lot about Jesus, who pointed to the Father, but it was still all about Jesus, and I wasn't really sure about this Holy Ghost thing, you know? And so when I came to know Holy Spirit, you know, I wanted to kind of read to you out of John 16:7. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away, because unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. About sin, because people don't believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. And all that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said that the Spirit will receive from me what he'll make known to you. See, Jesus always pointed to the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He and I are one and the same. And Holy Spirit points to Jesus, okay? But I want you to think about how you came to know and how you are in relationship with the Trinity. And, you know, Scripture says that we're made in his image. So I think about, you know, God is in relationship with himself, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. When my daughter was really little, she would talk about, well, there's Father and then there's a Son, so Holy Spirit must be the mommy, right? So I'm like, well, Spirit of wisdom and truth, counselor, comforter, sounds like a mom. I could get where she got that. But just think about ourselves too, that we're three in one. We're body, we're soul, and we're spirit. You know, then we're also in our soul man, we're made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions, okay? So I'm going to use the language of the heart of us being that soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. And I'm going to talk a little bit, just kind of a mini introduction to an inner healing prayer ministry model called Heart Sync Model that we may talk about at some point and do some teaching on some of that. But I like the model because it talks about our heart and how it's divided into these different parts. Now, the language of the model is that there's an emotion part, then there's your function part, and then there's the guardian. Okay, so the function part of you is the doer, right? That's the one that's always got the checklist, thinking about everything you gotta do, and you know, we've got all that stuff we've gotta take care of. It's the doer part of us, right? And then there's the emotional part of us. We all know that part, right? It kind of gets us in trouble sometimes. I call them the drama moments, right? But then we also have guardian, so that's our wall, our protective measure. You know, some of us came in tonight maybe with them, like, I'm not sure, this is a new place and there's new faces, and we all do this. It's normal, it's natural, it's just what we do, right? But have you ever said something like, well, a part of me wants to do this, but a part of me wants to do that, and I'm kind of torn? Okay. Or have you ever had to, like, give yourself a pep talk? I can do this. I know I can. I can do this. You can do this, Cindy. Right? Have you ever had to do that and pick yourself up? Well, who are you talking to? You're talking to yourself. You're talking to these parts of you. And a couple of scripture. Let's look at Psalm 86:11. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. Another scripture talks about the divided heart, or that we would have an undivided one, is Ezekiel 11:19. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Okay? So we want to be wholehearted. So in this particular healing model, each part of us, in order to become one and to become wholehearted, each of these parts has to be able to connect with Jesus and to be able to connect with one another. So we are one. Okay, and there's what's called the original self. God created you in your mother's womb, right? He sees you through the eyes and the blood of Jesus. And so when he sees us, he sees our spirit man in charge of our soul, okay, whole. He's not working on our old nature. He's working on our new nature with us, right? That's what he's concerned about, us actually coming to an understanding of our new nature, not our old nature. But we tend to be focused on the old nature. We tend to be focused on that struggle, on all of that. But if we have the mind of Christ, if we surrender our will to the Lord, and if our emotions are stabilized by Holy Spirit, right, the comforter, the counselor, the true counselor, and then we can be wholehearted. And so our original self is who God designed and sees us to be. Like I said, spirit ruling the soul. A lot of times people talk about, well, the soul we just need to get rid of. Well, you can't. It's a part of you. He came to redeem the soul. He's the lover of your soul. David talked to his soul. Oh, my soul, why are you so downcast within me? He's talking to the parts of himself, right? So I just want you to think about the concept of anytime you've ever showed up a little Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, anytime you've ever gotten a little upset about something and you said some things you probably shouldn't have, and then later on you went, man, I'm so sorry I said that. I don't know what came into me. Right? Like when we're in those moments, when our heart is divided, we actually can have a very different kind of mentality. When we're in this place of emotion and a place of wounding, you know, we can say things that we don't normally mean on a really good day. You know, when we're high function and we're stressed and we've just got things to do, have you ever said, I don't have time to even mess with that right now? It's just, I just need to get the job done, right? We don't have time for the emotions. So what do? We shut them down. Okay, so the guardian part of our heart shows up and protects us. That guardian part of us, that protector, says, oh, I've got to make sure she's okay, because guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life, right? So guardian was meant to keep our heart whole and to be able to resist the enemy, right? Was not supposed to do this to Jesus, and certainly not supposed to continue the division. But oftentimes that's what we do. We get into function mode, or we're in a little emotional mode, right? And we kind of switch back and forth. But what he's saying is in these different places, in these different parts, our mindset is not always the same, okay? So when we're high function mode, we might have a whole different kind of way that we do things versus when we're in emotion mode, or even in our guarded mode. I don't know, it could be fear-based, right? I'm gonna protect myself, I don't really know you people, or I've been really, really hurt, so you're not gonna get back here to the emotional part of me, okay? Our hearts get divided. So the reason why I'm bringing that up is because it's important for us to recognize when our heart does that, so that we know quickly to enter into Jesus. Whichever part of you enters into Jesus the quickest. For me, it's always emotion. All I've got to do is start singing or worshiping. And when my emotion, it's there. When my emotion, Jesus is there. My emotion is connected. Not always when I'm in function mode. My function mode sometimes will go like, I got it, Jesus. Thanks for the notes. And then I kind of take over, right? So I have to make sure that these parts of me are in tune with one another and in tune with Jesus. Okay, so it's just a way to kind of keep track of where is your heart at when we talk about this, when we talk about intimacy with God. And again, in John 17, let me pull this up. Oh, now my phone's going to be funny on me. Give me just a second. John 17:13. Starting in 13. Read a little bit more in here. And I've been camping out in John 14 through 17. If you haven't really spent some time in those chapters, they're really great. I strongly recommend them. But This is Jesus talking about us wanting to be one. But he says, John, starting in 17:13, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world so that they may have the joy, have the full measure of my joy within them. You know, Jesus wants us to have his full measure of joy. I've given them your word. This is Jesus praying to the Father. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. Hallelujah. We are not of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Sanctified, to be set apart, to be made holy, right? Okay, so I'm going to go back, and we're going to hang out here in a couple verses. Verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. Your old nature is gone. Your new nature has come. You are no longer a part of the world. Amen? My prayer, here's Jesus' prayer. My prayer, Father, is not that you would take them out of the world. Wait. Oh, you mean we're not supposed to just escape and be raptured out of this place when... No. Listen, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Listen, this is sandwich. Do you get it? He's saying, they're not of the world. Don't take them out of the world. Protect them from the enemy. They are not of the world. He said it twice. I don't know about you, but when Jesus repeats something, I look at it really close. Okay? You are no longer a part of this world. You are a new nature, and God is not working on your old nature, and he's not trying to clean you up. He's already paid for it all. He's already redeemed it. He's already made you brand new. You just don't fully know it yet. You haven't come into the fullness of understanding what Jesus paid for in fullness, okay? Now, I understand the whole process of justification, and there's this process of sanctification throughout our whole lifetime. We don't ever just like arrive, right? It's okay, there's mile markers. I get it, but It's a constant renewing of our minds to know that we are being transformed, right? Constantly and continually be conformed no longer to the patterns of this world. Well, guess what? You are no longer of this world. You are not of this world any more than Jesus was of this world. Whoa. Think about that. But where do our brains go every day? Oh, well, I messed up again. Or, oh, well, right? Okay, wait. He's not working on my old nature. I got to work really hard. I got to strive. I got to really try to be good. I got to really try to be holy. I got to really try to... No. I just need to be. Be still and know that I'm God. And he's already done it all. He's already paid for it all. So all this stuff that I have in my emotion, right? All that trauma, all the pain, all the fear, all the loneliness, all the shame, all that stuff, when it shows up, I've got to take it to Jesus. See, what we tend to do is we tend to stick it in a box, write a little name and a date, and some of you take notes, you know, and you put some stuff in there, and then we put it in storage. Out of sight, out of mind, right? Denial is a good thing, right? So we just kind of lock it up back there, and we just kind of truck on and keep going and just survive however the best we can, sometimes barely hanging on, right? We're not really living out the rest of victory, right? I love Graham Cook, and he says, we war from a place of rest. We fight from victory, not for victory. Jesus already paid for it. But we've got to take a look at those things that we've stuck in those boxes sometimes. And guess what? Jesus was already there. He was there the whole time, whether you knew it or not. Okay? And we just need to be able to make sure we're handing that stuff over and not just sticking it in the closet and hiding it and stuffing it and pretending like it's not there. Anytime this stuff comes up, we've got to present it to him. I always talk about triggers. Okay? You ever had any buttons get pushed? Anybody? If you have buttons that get pushed, then you have buttons. If you don't have any buttons, no one can push them. So recognize when the button gets pushed. Recognize your response and your reaction. Take a step back. Go before the Lord. What just set me off? What was that about? Now, a lot of times we tend to go, well, they did, and they said, and they, and they, and they, right? Instead of, wait, this is my button. Where did this button come from, right? We want to live unoffendable. That's a great goal, to live unoffendable, right? So if I have a button that just went off, what was that about, Jesus? What lie am I believing when that button went off? Okay, what's the lie versus the truth? Let me trace it back. Another really good question to ask is, does this feel familiar? Oh, this is just like that time when. So sometimes that wound traces us back to another event in our life, something in the present. It doesn't even have to look a whole lot alike, trust me. But it will trigger some of those old feelings, that old pain or a theme, you know, like rejection or shame or whatever it is. We trace it back. Jesus, walk me through that. What lie am I believing? What was that about? Oh, it's just like that time when, oh, God, is there anyone I need to forgive? Maybe myself, maybe a few other people. Okay, well, give me the mind of Christ. Let me be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, looking at this situation. What do you say? What do you say about that person? What are you saying about me? Right? Okay, so we all go through this, right? So there's no shame. This is a no shame fly zone, as a friend of mine says, right? So it's just about, okay, the Lord wants us wholehearted. You know, you ever see the movie Monsters, Inc.? Right, and they bring out the door, you know, and you walk and push the button and you go into the door and it's this separate little room and you can have different doors going to different rooms. That's kind of like the button thing, right? Someone pushes a button and it triggers something and it's kind of like that time when, right? And if you'll let yourself with Jesus go into that place, Lord, what is this about? What is this button about? Because it could just be about this present situation, but it still could be, what lie am I believing? But it's my button. And if I don't have any buttons, you can't push them. And then I'm free of you. No more fear of man. No more trying to please you or to make you happy. I'm free of you. And I'm free of me too, because then I'm not judging myself and constantly navel gazing and trying to fix everything about me. That's wrong. Jesus loves me. He loves you. He died for you while you were still a sinner. You know, Andrea shared on Sunday, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What was the joy? You. You. When he couldn't connect to the Father, he thought of you. You know, I picture him just flipping through that scrapbook of all of his little family photos. You know, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He goes on to pray, my prayer is not for them alone, but I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you've sent me. I have, check this out, I have given them the glory that you gave me. What? Wait, what? I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. So the glory was already given to us. Why? So that we can be one. We display his glory, especially when we're one. That was the point. That's kind of crazy to me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Wholeness of heart individually, relationally in community with one another, God's family actually liking each other. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. You want to change the world? Love one another, right? So, let's see, where's my next scripture? Let's see, John, nope, that's not it. Huh, I didn't put it on there. Okay, well, I'm going to look this one up. Hold on just a second. I'm going to do a little search here. Here we go. Okay, so there's lots and lots and lots of verses that if you just type in this little phrase, I love this little Bible app, and you can also do Bible Gateway, just type in love one another, you're going to pull up a whole lot of these scriptures, right? This is all in the NIV. I'm just going to read a few of them to you. And John especially. If you ever need to learn about love, just read Apostle John's letters and his gospel. A new command I give to you, John 13:34. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. John 13:35. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. 1 John 4:11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. 1 John 3:11. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. 1 John 4:7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Romans 13:8. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. 1 Peter 1:22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. You got to mean it. Unity is not enough. It's about intimacy. And this is his command, 1 John 3:23, to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. That's the new commandment he gave us, right? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, not just a part or two, with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. These two things, he said, sum up all of the law and the prophets. Everything in scripture hangs on these two things, love God and love one another. What does that really mean? What does that really look like? How do we do that? I want us to talk a little bit about connecting to God and how we relate again to the Trinity. I'm going to back up here for just a minute. Has anyone read The Shack? It's a book by William Young. Anyone not read The Shack? That'd probably be a better question. Okay. It is a fabulous book. I'll always have a book to recommend, by the way. But it is a fabulous book. It's a fictional story. It's similar to Pilgrim's Progress is the way I like to describe it. But it's an amazing book. It's a little bit hard to read in the beginning. It's not a secret, so I'm not spoiling anything from you, but the story is the premise of a man named Mac who has a tragedy in his family. His daughter was kidnapped and killed. And God invites him back to the place where they found her body, and God encounters this man, okay? And he's able to encounter God in all the parts of the Trinity in a really beautiful and amazing way. And just really eye-opening. I strongly recommend it. But what I loved about this book is because it did intentionally have Mac engage with each part of the Trinity in a unique way. So I just want you to think for a minute. When you think of the Father, what comes to mind? You don't have to say it out loud. I just want you to think. Think of the Father. What would be some words that you would describe him as? How you picture him? Versus Jesus. When you think of Jesus, what comes to mind? How you think of him, how you relate to him. And what about Holy Spirit? How are they different? How are they the same? I mean, they're all God, right? But I think that God in his genius allowed himself to be revealed in relationship and in these parts so that we may be able to identify and relate to him into these parts as well. And I'll just share briefly, you know, my part of my testimony is, you know, like I said, I knew Jesus ever since I was 9 years old, and he was always my savior, best friend. He was Jesus, you know, King Jesus, but he was my friend too. And Father was a little more intimidating. You know, Father in the church I grew up with was kind of like, whoa, like he's God of the universe, judge. And if you get out of line, he'll throw a lightning bolt at you. You know, like if it wasn't for Jesus, like, woof, if it wasn't for Jesus, you know, the Father would be really mad at me, right? Like he was like Abraham Lincoln on the throne, you know, really big. And I'm like this big, you know, in fear of God mode, you know, not awe of God, but fear and trembling. And Holy Spirit, I didn't really know much about when I was first growing up. It was just kind of like vapor, you know, not a person. But I started to press in as the Lord started to reveal things, and especially that passage where Jesus said, hey, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He and I are one and the same. And it had hit me, and I was like, they're not the same to me. They're not the same to me. The Father seems very different than Jesus to me. And I've asked this question to different people along the years, and people have a different, you know, experience or upbringing or whatever, and how, you know, sometimes our view of the Father gets tainted by our earthly father and fathering, right? And with Jesus, sometimes by people who don't really represent him very well, okay? And by Holy Spirit, I mean, again, I grew up not really talking much about Holy Spirit in the denomination I grew up in, but when I first started to encounter Holy Spirit as a person, and he knocked my socks off, I'm ruined, right? Like, that was like, oh my goodness, he's a person. And and so I just want you to think about, I want you to think about how you engage with each of the parts of the Trinity and how they might be different for you so that you can engage with God in that conversation. And there are several inner healing models. For those of you who don't know, I'm a marriage and family therapist and professional counselor, but I'm also trained in inner healing ministry. So I kind of do this stuff every day, all day long. But what I love about several of these tools, one of them is called the Father Ladder. It's in Freedom Tools, or Bethel Sozo, if you're familiar with any of those. But, you know, when we have father issues, it's huge for us to get to know the heart of the Father, who he really is, the good, good Father, you know, like that song says, to deal with our fathering. Because sometimes we project our father stuff onto Father God, and that's not who he is. You know, we want to be able to know who God really is, you know. So when Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, he and I are one and the same, and it looks a little different, then I'm going to encourage you to be able to encounter God about that and to be able to ask him. You know, one way to do that is whichever part of the Trinity you feel closest to. Like when I was growing up, I felt closest to Jesus. So when I first started to do this, I said, Jesus, I want to know the Father the way you know the Father. So I would engage in time with Jesus like I normally did, and then I would ask him to show me the Father. Will you take me to the Father and have me engage with the Father? And so when I started to get to know Holy Spirit was a very different thing for me. And so I was like, wait a second, you know, Holy Spirit, wow. You know, and I saw crazy miracles and healings and stuff that was way on the other end of the spectrum for me than what I grew up getting used to, right? But it was like the reality of the power of God. And he just awakened so many things in my encounter with Holy Spirit and how real he is. And then just beginning to understand who Holy Spirit is and how Jesus talked about it. He said, listen, it's good that I go away. I'm like, no, Jesus, don't go away, right? I would have been one of those disciples. I'd been Peter, like, no, not letting it happen. But it's good that Jesus went so the Holy Spirit could come, right, and live within us. So being able to connect, let me back up, the Father Ladder. So fathers are providers. They provide, they're supposed to provide, protect, and they speak identity, okay? So we talk about sonship and identity and the Lord. It's really important if we struggle with any of those things that we do some healing work with the Father, okay? So that he can show us who we really are, what Jesus already paid for, remember? With the Son, oftentimes we'll see peer relationships or marriages or just communication or intimacy and relationship in general. You know, Jesus, you know, oftentimes because he was here, he walked the earth, he knew betrayal, he knew, you know, all of those things, every temptation that's common to man, you know, Scripture says he overcame them all for us. And then there's Holy Spirit, again, the comforter, the nurturer. I had a client share with me that Holy Spirit always felt like a grandmother because her grandmother was so spirit-filled and just had the presence of peace, you know, and wisdom and so and nurturing. And so she, whenever she would talk to Holy Spirit, she kind of always had this mental picture of like, you know, a grandmotherly kind of figure. When Holy Spirit showed up to me in one of these inner healing sessions, he actually showed up as a Korean man. I didn't see his face, but he was wearing a tuxedo. I was like, okay. You know, so let me talk about that for a minute. With our spiritual senses, let's talk about the sanctified imagination. Okay, to be sanctified is to be set apart, right? So with childlike faith, if I ask to engage with God, okay, I have the faith to be able to believe that. I believe that he's given us a sanctified imagination. Imagination is a scary word for some people because people can get off into la-la land and the new age stuff or whatever, and we're not all about that, okay? So I want you to think about this because it's very biblical. I want you to think about in Luke 16, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Do you remember that story? Okay, so a rich man dies, and he's in Hades, and he says he looks up, and he sees Abraham and Lazarus, and he says, Abraham, will you send Lazarus down for a drop of water? I'm thirsty. You know, it's hot down here, and I'm in agony. Okay, he is seeing. This is dead, right? Like, he's dead. So he's seeing. Your spiritual sight is still there. He's able to hear and talk and feel, touch, right? So all of the senses that we tend to have here are spiritual. They go on with us, okay? So activate them now. Activate being able to hear the Lord, to be able to use those senses and how he wants to move and discerning how the Spirit moves by awakening those senses. So it's really simple. Another couple of scriptures, Psalm 1. 1-3 is where David talks about, I meditate on your law day and night that I might sin against you. You know, so he's meditating. People are really freaked out about that word. Okay, this is biblical meditation. We are focused intentionally on the presence of God and engaging with him in relationship. You cannot grow in relationship with anybody if you don't spend time with them. If you don't talk with them, if you don't hang out with them, if you don't play with them, right? If you don't, I mean, you've got to be able to engage with God. To grow in intimacy with God is for him to be able to engage with you in all of those parts that we talked about, right? He's the one that gives us the orders so that we, you know, do what we're supposed to do. Guess what? The functional part of us, that's like Jesus. I only do what I see the Father do. I only say what I hear the Father say. That's the job of the function. Our guardian, guard your heart for the wellspring of life. I mean, so don't let everything in, right? Filter by the word, filter by his spirit, and our emotional life too. We've got to be able to engage with the Lord in intimacy and in relationship. Daniel, several times, a couple of the verses I wrote down were 7:2, 8:15, and 12:5, and this is Daniel describing the visions that he was having, okay? Whether they are night visions or day open visions, you know, there's debate about that, but he says in there, and then I looked and saw. And then I looked again and saw. Okay, so any of you ever had a dream and you want to, like, wake up and then you, like, go back to sleep, try to get back in the dream? Okay, or you have a dream that stuck with you and you're meditating on it and you rethink it and you relook at it, or if anyone does dream interpretation maybe, you know, and you're, that's what Daniel, I think, was doing. I don't think it was just a one-time vision necessarily. I think he meditated on it, he went back to, and then I looked again, and then I looked up, and then I looked around. Well, you can do that in your sanctified imagination, okay? To be able to connect with God, to be able to talk with him in each of these parts, in whatever part, if you're in an emotional place, you know, crying out to God in that place of your emotion and paying attention to where your mental state is, because a lot of times we don't really have the mind of Christ when we're upset. You know, we don't, okay? We're not very rational. So I want you to think about what we call a five-bar moment or an Emmanuel moment, and I'm going to share with you a brief testimony, and then we're going to activate this. So an Emmanuel moment, Emmanuel means God is with me. So an Emmanuel moment is any time you felt the presence of the Lord, and it was good, okay, a good connection. Well, we want it to be a five-bar moment. So think of your cell phones. If you got two bars, not a very good, strong internet connection, not a good signal, right, or whatever. So we want a five-bar. So we want to be able to actively engage when we're meditating with the Lord, when we're in our quiet time and our prayer time with him. We want to be able to stay there so that we're not just at two bars. We want to get to the place where we can connect with him heart to heart, and it's five bar. So, you know, the more you practice this, the more you engage in worship, the more, whether it's scripture reading, whatever it is that activates you to come into the presence and the heart of God, right? For some people, it's prayer, it's speaking in tongues for a while. Everybody does it a little bit different, and it's okay. We're all different. For me personally, it's just I engage in worship, and I'm not just there just singing a song. If I'm not feeling the presence, then I'm going to stop. And sometimes the spontaneous singing that we do is partly is because I want to feel the presence, and either I feel the presence and I want to linger there, or I'm pressing into a deeper place of this presence by not just singing the song that's already written. Does that make sense? So it's about really letting my heart become real with the Lord and be able to engage in that place. And so whatever it is that you can do that connects with an Emmanuel moment or a five-bar moment, as we call them. And just to share with you a brief testimony, you know, when I was engaging with the Lord in a quiet time, I'm just going to read to you this journal entry. I tell people all the time, when you get stuff from the Lord, write it down. So here's my proof that I do it too. It's dated May 2nd, 2015. And I just wrote down what I engaged with the Lord on. And it said, Jesus and I went walking on a beach. And he carried me, kind of like in footprints, and took me into the ocean to the Father. I asked him to take me to the Father. But he took me into the ocean to the Father, where the Father held me. And it was like his arms were the waves of the ocean. So he was the ocean. And I just floated into the deep. I wanted to stand and actually walk on the water, but he said, no, just rest. So he's teaching me to trust him and to rest more in him. So later, I can run on the water with, quote, sea legs, and point and tell those storms to stop with authority, and then I see others, all ages, following and running around, able to play on the water as well, and we're headed further into the deep as we go. I'm not alone in the water. I'm never alone in the water. Jesus is still there. He's always there, and the Father's holding me up as I float in his, quote-unquote, hands. Holy Spirit is the wind, and there's a cloud in the air, and he's happy to minister to me in a gentle breeze. But I thirst, and so I say, here's a quote, water, water everywhere, and not a drop to drink. Anyone can tell me where that one's from? But I feel like I'm in a desert, but I'm not. But I'm not able to drink. So then Holy Spirit makes rain from the cloud and gives me a few drops. And those three words come, trust, rest, receive. So that's just a glimpse into, God, I want to engage with you. So I quickly enter into Jesus. It's just where my testimony is, okay? So I quickly enter in with Jesus, and then I say, take me to the Father. And then he starts showing me this picture. And so I go with it. I'm like, okay, where's the Father? Father, where are you? And he shows me his hands are the waves. Okay, so then later, I'm like, well, can I walk on the water? That's just me, right? I want to run on the water. He's like, no, don't get to. But then he shows me a picture of later you'll get to run on the water and you're going to command the storms and you're going to get to play on the water and there's lots of other people all ages all walking and playing on the water and advancing the kingdom, right? And then I'm like, well, where's Holy Spirit? And then Holy Spirit says, he's the wind. I could feel the wind blow and the breeze. And then he shows me a cloud. And then in my spirit, in this place where I was with him, I'm like, ugh. Anybody have that feeling? Doesn't have words. This is all good, God. And I'm connecting with God here, and I'm still, my spirit's like, And so what comes out of my mouth is, I thirst. What? And then that little quote comes to me. Water, water everywhere, not a drop to drink. So Holy Spirit in his sweetness says, okay, you can have a few. Sprinkle some from the cloud, right? So, what was he teaching me? To trust, to rest, and to just receive. That was the season I was in. So, engaging with the Lord, asking where he is, how do you relate to him? Let him show you. He can take you into a place of a memory, of an amazing time you had or whatever, a time of worship or a time of, something going on in your family life, a birth of a child. I mean, I pictured Jesus right there when I had my babies. And felt his presence. And so when you do, and you feel it, and sometimes it's in hard moments when we know that God was there, when a loved one is dying in the hospital or whatever, like when you feel the presence of God in those moments, right? So it's not always, it doesn't always feel real positive, but when you know that he was there, that's an Emmanuel moment. So re-engage with him, whether it's in that memory or like I did in this little example where I just asked him to show me a place. That's the sanctified imagination. That's what I'm talking about when we engage with God in relationship. And we open up our hearts to say, I want to go deeper with you. What are you saying to me? And we begin with childlike faith to just kind of follow what he says and to look and to listen and to trust and go, what, an ocean? Okay, what? Of course, my little heart was like, let's run on the water. I want to walk on water like Peter. And just engaging in relationship with him and hearing him, to hear him be able to say, no, just rest, and to hear those words. And then, important, writing it down so that we can go back to it, okay? Now, next week, we're going to talk about joy and the joyful connection. I want to give you just a little bit of a sneak peek about this because I'm a crazy nerd when it comes to brain science, okay? So our brain, our prefrontal orbital cortex right here at our forehead, this is how it registers joy. When I'm with somebody, who likes to be with me. This part of my brain goes, yay. Okay, now most of us, when we think of joy, we think hyper fun, yay. But joy is, I am with somebody and they like me. So God wired our brain for joyful connection and relationship. So that's why when we walk around and we can smile at a stranger, we'll almost automatically smile back. They've done studies with mommies and their babies, right? And how they get the little download in the little amygdala, you know, the little banana in the brain. And they get these little downloads, you know, from their mamas, right? This nurture, this eye-to-eye connection, okay? And especially when those babies start smiling back on their own. And it's not gas, I promise. They've proved it. Brain science proves it. It's an impulse that the brain actually makes them smile so that you'll smile at them so that they'll smile back. Isn't that crazy? God's a genius. He's a genius in how he made us, but he wired us for connection. But the thing is whether we have it in people around us or not, our brain will literally still do the same thing when we're engaged with God, when we're with somebody who likes to be with us, okay? So we're going to spend just a couple quick moments, and I'm just going to walk you through just a short, brief time, and I'm just going to ask God, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask God to reveal to you whatever he wants to show you, however he wants to take you. I just want you to give yourself permission to engage into the heart of God, however you connect with him, and take you into that Emmanuel moment where God is with you, whether it's a memory or whether it's a new picture he's going to give you, and just ask him a question or two, ask him, God, what do you think of me? Or what does my spirit look like? Or God, where do you want to go? Show me a place. Where's my secret place? A really good one? Show me my garden in heaven. He showed me my garden. It was crazy fun. It's got some weird stuff in it, but it's totally my garden. So I encourage you, let's just think about it, okay? So just close your eyes, and I'm going to pray, and it's going to give you just a few minutes. We're not going to do this very long, just a few minutes. So Father, I thank you for your goodness. And I thank you, God, that you desire a relationship with your kids. And Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you paid for everything so that we could have this relationship of oneness with you. You and us in you. That we may all be one. And Holy Spirit, revealer of all truth, would you come and just take us into this place of engagement. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We're so grateful to you, God. We're so grateful to you. So just breathe upon each one here now. What do you want to show us? Where do you want to take us? Just speak to each heart individually. Lord, teach us to quiet the traffic, to engage with you in this way. Lord, show us how to activate our spiritual senses as we engage with you, to see the colors and the places and the things that you want us to see, to hear you, to hear the sounds, Lord, as I think of those waves on the ocean crashing on the beach, as I feel the water or feel the sand or the wind. Lord, help us to just learn to engage into those places with you, to encounter you in a new way, that we may hear you and know you deeply and more intimately. Teach us, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I ask that you just give to us a hunger and a thirst to set aside the time to do this. Lord, that was just 4 minutes. Lord, that we can give you a few minutes of our time and attention. You're worthy of that. So I ask you, God, without any condemnation, but with your kindness, Lord, drawing us into relationship with you, that we're intentional in doing it. So I thank you for each heart that's here. I thank you what you're doing and what you've said and shown and what you're going to do and continue to do and say and show. So we thank you, God. What a beautiful opportunity to engage with you. What an honor. Creator of the universe. Our Father. Our King Jesus. And our mighty Holy Spirit. We love you and we thank you. And I ask that you just be with the conversation tonight and the prayers and just continue to move our hearts toward you and toward one another. Make us one as you are one. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right, so now we're going to take a few minutes and we're going to ask that you split up into some groups. We do have some tables, a couple tables set aside, but I'd really like for you to get into just groups of maybe 4 or 5. We don't want to get into really large groups because I want anyone who wants to share to be able to share. You don't have to, but we certainly want to. We want us to be able to get to know one another and share your hearts. And I'm going to ask that for whatever reason the Lord wanted me to ask that the men would gather together with the men and the women gather with women in these groups tonight. We usually kind of mix them up and do whatever, but the Lord asked that, so I'm obeying. So I'm going to ask that you do that, and you break into some small groups, and then your little paper that was handed out to you, there's just a couple of questions in there that'll kind of help get the conversation going. You don't have to go through all of them, but we do want to end about the last 5 minutes or so, so around 8:25, you've got about 20 minutes to share briefly, and then pray for each other, okay? So, and that's how we'll end out today. We end at 8:30. Great? All right, and we'll see you back Sunday. Saturday, by the way, if you don't remember, Baseline is this Saturday from 8 to 4. Kelly and Jay will be doing the teaching on that all day Saturday. It'll be a great teaching of healing and just more of what we're talking about in here tonight, too. Just foundations of our relationship with the Lord. So bless you, and we'll see you next time.